Okay, we continue with implementation issues, and we're going to paper number 12, I believe.
Yes.
Greg?
Yeah, thank you, Hans. So in July, the board decided to propose an amendment to IS 37 to clarify the meaning of the term unavoidable costs in the definition of an onerous contract. And this would specify the cost of fulfilling a contract, the costs that relate directly to the contract. So agenda paper 12 sets out the due process steps that we've carried out in relation to this proposed amendment. There are three questions for the board today, which are on page 3 of the agenda paper. So I'll just go through these in turn. So the first one is where the board agrees with our recommendation to have a comment period of 120, or at least 120 days for the exposure draft.
All in favour?
14.
The second question is whether any board member intends to dissent from the issuance of the exposure draft.
Any dissenters?
I don't think I'm going to dissent. Let me clarify the point to be made clear before we vote. I'm not going to dissent. The one point I have concern is we are not going to change the IFRS 15, but we are going to change IS 37. The reason is very clear. We don't have any paragraph in the IFRS 15 about onerous contract. Everything is IS 37. However, my concern is IS 37 covers a variety of liability other than revenue-related contract. So once we change some wording of onerous contract of IS 37, it may affect other area other than IFRS 15. That is my first concern. And the second concern is about the concept of IS 37. IS 37, paragraph 63, clearly said that provisions shall not be recognized for future operating losses. Of course, some allocation of human cost is not connected to future operating losses, but it should be made clear. Otherwise, if you include some other cost which hasn't occurred yet, that could be interpreted as if you are making provision for the future operating losses. So unless it is not very clear, there is a possibility that IS 37 is going to make some fundamental change which allows some future operating losses. And also, it is highly related to the conceptual background of IS 37. Because if you look at the paragraph 64 of IS 37, it says the reason why we are prohibiting to make a provision for future losses is because it's highly related to the definition of liability. And then we are going to change the concept, we change the conceptual framework of liability, and then we are planning to review IS 37. So then we need to discuss what's the interaction between the definition of liability and the IS 37 provisioning. So we are going to do that in near future, and then changes the some area which could relate to the such a conceptual meaning is not really a good idea to me. So therefore, that's why I hesitate to completely agree with your proposal.
Nevertheless?
Nevertheless. Let's see how you draft.
Okay.
Because if you can successfully ring fence, this will not violate the conceptual background of IS 37, and it will not affect to other liability which covers which is covered by IS 37, then I would be fine. But if you cannot draft in such a way, I may dissent. So I would like to reserve my vote now.
Heavy responsibility on your shoulders.
I mean, if it's helpful, just on the two points you made, TAC, it is only to say that I think that a central part of, first of all, the committee's discussions and then your discussions in the paper we brought to you in July was actually talking about how and why this proposal, we thought, did not contradict some of the words you were referring to as future operating losses. So only to say that I think that will be a central part of the explanation and the basis that supports this exposure draft. So I think with that, as I say, that'll be very much explained in the ED and out there, and then people obviously will have the opportunity to comment. I think in your second point about this applying wider, then absolutely it will apply wider than just revenue contracts. Yeah. It will apply to any contracts that are within the scope of IS 37. But at least for me personally, by the way, that was actually, there's an added benefit to that in the sense that as part of all the work that the board previously did in IS 37, this question mark over exactly how do I read the words unavoidable costs has come up, and there's been a lack of clarity about that for all contracts that fit within the scope of IS 37. Mm-hmm. So at least by actually having the scope of this be for anything that fits into 37, mm-hmm. I think there is a potential benefit from that clarification for all of those contracts.
We'll see if people agree. That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Mary?
Not planning to dissent, but discussion highlighted for me terminology I'd like to ask the staff to look at in the drafting. In paragraph 1, subparagraph D, you're talking about the transition and saying, you know, we're expressing our planned transition as applying the proposed amendment to contracts existing at the date. And it just makes me wonder whether we can use the word contracts, because I think, if you step away from revenue contracts, that there are transactions other than contracts that are within the scope of IS 37. And just think about whether we want to apply it only to contracts or to all transactions, some other categorization to which 37 applies. I'm not trying to suggest changing the method of application, but just whether we are inadvertently identifying a subset of IS 37 transactions by saying contracts.
And finally, do we grant permission to ballot?
14.